We want to focus in on verses, 8 through to the end of the chapter. So let's just read from verse 8 to the end of the chapter. Is it 690? I think it is. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So 691 is where we're going to be starting off from. Okay. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "For how long, O Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, it's kind of a strange passage, isn't it? It's not the most positive passage I could have picked. But I think it's a really interesting passage. I've had the good fortune today of seeing my niece baptised at High Road, and we've had a great party afterwards to celebrate the fact that she has taken that step. And one of the things that she expressed in her testimony was that she felt, she's only 13, but she'd lost her faith for a while. At the end of last year, and she was going through lots of trials with various difficulties with her legs, and her mum and dad and her uncle helped her to see that God was still at work in her despite her pain and despite the difficulties that she was facing. And there was an interesting line in her testimony. She said, "I once again believe that God has a purpose for me." And very often as people, one of the things we really want is to know that actually our lives have meaning, that there is purpose to us still being here, that God will still work in us, that God is still interested in us, that we're important enough to him to still have a work for us to do. And it was a really interesting line. She's only 13 years old. I thought, well, that's a pretty deep line for someone that young. But isn't it true that it's our heart's yearning even now for us to have some sort of meaning? I don't know about you, but that rings true for me. And that was one of the things that really struck me about her testimony. And this is what is happening with Isaiah here. He's being called. This whole chapter is about Isaiah seeing the Lord and his calling to be a prophet. His calling to be the one who is sent to give a message. But it's a pretty challenging message he sent to give to his own people, because he's foreseeing a time, not in the too distant future, when the land will be laid to waste and Israel will be taken into captivity, into Babylon. And he's the one that's got to give them that message. You know, of all the messages that God gives, I would prefer it not to be that one, personally. I'll prefer it to be an uplifting one. God loves you. I would prefer it to be one of salvation. God wants you, loves you, forgives you, and he wants you to live now. But that's not the one he's given. He's given a difficult message to the people. And one of the things, I suppose, that hearing this morning was actually, very often our purpose is actually a difficult purpose. Sometimes our message is easy, and we do have a message of good news. But that good news comes often in a context. And if the person you're speaking to has just suffered a bereavement, it's not the easiest message to take. If that person who you have given the message to is someone who has suffered from being people trafficked or being used in prostitution, it's not an easy message to give. There are so many contexts in our locality, amongst the people that we live with, amongst the people that we see every day, amongst the people that we meet. And the challenge for us is that we have a purpose like Isaiah. We've been given a message. How do we give it out? How do we bring that good news, that hope, into people's lives? And it can be a real challenge. And it's what Isaiah found. I don't know about you, but Isaiah gets this message and he says to the Lord, and the message is an interesting one, you know, there are going to be people that see but can't perceive. They can hear, but they don't understand what they're hearing. They will ignore it. And very often, the people we meet and the people who we have the opportunity to share with are those. Those that even seeing, they cannot see. Even hearing, they cannot hear. But that doesn't mean that we don't give the message out. You know, the challenge to Isaiah, and he suffered for giving out that message, and he ultimately suffered with his life. But he was given a task to do, and he was given a message to give, and he gave it consistently throughout his life. But the great thing about the messages that he was given was that even amongst them, and they were difficult messages, there was a message of hope. And that hope is found in that last verse. But as the terebinth and oak leaf stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. There is a hope. There is a holy seed that will be the stump in the land, that will grow anew, that will live, that will bring about new fruit, that will as it were, replant the forests that will be that new wood that can be used. You know, we stand in a really fortunate position, I think, because we know everything that has gone before. We know about how the Jews have suffered. We know about how the prophets suffered. But also we know that Jesus came, that Jesus died, and that Jesus lives forevermore. And not just that, we have that hope that we too will share in that everlasting life, and that we will know him. And that is what spurs us on. That is what moves us on. It's interesting that at his calling, he's given such a hard message, but he's still given that hope. He doesn't know when the Messiah is coming, but he knows that there is something to come that is to be hoped for. The great thing for us is we know what that hope was, and we've enough evidence of it to know how it's worked in our lives and in the lives of those around us here in the church. What we now have to do is somehow find a way of expressing it to those out there. And that's where the challenge comes. What is your way of sharing that hope? What is your way of being, as it were, that tree stump for people? That all hope is not gone. That there is a hope yet to come, who has already come. I think one of the great things about this passage is actually how Isaiah meets this Lord seated on the throne. So if we look in the first couple of verses. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now that is a great and majestic picture. You know, Isaiah has the opportunity to see the Lord enthroned. He has this opportunity to see he who he worships. The great thing is we've got something even better than that. We've got the Holy Spirit right here. He hasn't just shown us who he is. He lives inside us. And he helps us if we will let him with everything we bring before him. You know, that's why we need to learn to cultivate prayer. Not just so that we can bring our burdens before him, but so that also we can hear what he has to say to us. Even now, at this time, and always. My kids are in their teens now, and they think of me as a really old man. And to some extent, I think of myself as an old man as well. But one of the things that I suppose is encouraging to me is that despite what they think of me in terms of my age, they are willing to listen and learn. They're willing to listen to what me and their mum have to say to them. They're willing to learn what we have to give to them. My question to you is, Who in this church can you teach? Who in this church can you mentor? Can you bring on? Can you bring forward? Who in this church can you pray for? Perhaps amongst your young people? Perhaps in the middle-aged people, like me? Perhaps even amongst your peers? Who can you be used for to encourage, strengthen, and move forward? Time has not passed you by. Time is still here with you. And it's with me for my children. And it's with you for your church children. Make yourselves of use and useful. It's interesting that when Isaiah ultimately has his revelations of the Messiah, not just who he is, chapter 7, not just the type of person he will be, chapter 9, which we'll be celebrating soon with Christmas, but two, the way he has to suffer and die in chapter 53. He sees, even in those chapters, so much hope that encourages him for the way forward. And he refers to them again and again throughout the book. It's interesting that the hope that he has, he clings to. And that's the key for all of us. Our lives have purpose. Our lives have meaning. We have a message to tell. But we also have a Saviour to cling on to. We have someone who holds on to us if we will hold on to him. And we need to learn that perseverance. And we are continuing to learn that perseverance. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you that your word is a rich word and it brings us passages, even difficult passages like this one, Lord, but it brings them with hope. It helps us to see that your purpose is our purpose. And we are your instruments, and we want to be your children. Lord, we ask that you would continue to work and bless us, that you would continue to allow us to know your will and be part of it, that you would continue to grow us, even now, more and more into your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen.